on 2SER Breakfast. Ellen Liebeder with you for our International Women's Day special. Joined in the studio now with Dr. Lisa Murray from the Dictionary of Sydney. Good morning.
Good morning, Ellen. Happy International Women's Day.
Now, you've got a list of 10 pretty amazing Sydney women.
Yes, and because I was looking at the dictionary, we have a lot of entries, biographies about people and how they connect a place. It's one of the things that the dictionary does really well. And so for Women's Day, I was thinking, well, let's obviously focus on the women. Mm-hmm. And there were so many good ones to pick from, but I thought I'd choose 10 that maybe you haven't heard of before, but really you should know about.
Okay, I've got a full disclosure. I haven't heard of any of these women before, so okay. I'm very interested to see who helped build Sydney.
Yeah, so we'll go through a top 10. They're not rated by, you know, who's the best. I've kind of just ordered them chronologically. So we'll start with Maria Locke. Now, she was actually educated at the Native Institution in Parramatta, which might give you a hint about the type of woman she was. She's actually an Aboriginal woman. Now, why she's really interesting and feisty and special is that she married a British convict. It was one of the first sort of marriages between Indigenous people and British people that was recognised. They settled on a land grant, which was given to her husband at Liverpool. And then she actually, her brother was Colby, and he was actually given a land grant out at Blacktown. And after he died, she actually successfully petitioned to have the land formally granted to her. So she was a really early landowner in Western Sydney at Blacktown.
And when was this?
So we're talking in sort of the 1830s, 1840s. She died in 1878, and all the land she owned at Blacktown and Liverpool passed to her her children. She had a number of children, and then they continued living on the land until the Aborigines Protection Board actually took their land away in the 1920s. So they actually legitimately owned land and everything. They were fully kind of participating in the system and, you know, using it to their advantage, and then the system still took the land away. So double whammy for her. But Maria Locke, many of her descendants still live around Sydney. She's an amazing woman. So she's number one. Number two is Harriet and Helena Scott, two sisters, and they were actually botanical illustrators. And you might go, well, you know, bit of drawing, why is that really special? But colonial and natural science and collecting of specimens was very much seen as a men's job and a gentleman's pursuit, but they became the foremost natural science painters in New South Wales in the second half of the 19th century. And the museum, the Australian Museum and the Mitchell Library, they actually have a lot of their specimens and botanical drawings.
So you can go and see them.
The Australian Museum has an amazing app that's got all their butterfly and moth drawings, and you can explore them and learn all about moths and butterflies, but they're also really beautiful paintings. And a lot of their paintings had little vignettes of Sydney in the corners and things. Absolutely exquisite. So they're really fun to find out more about. And, yeah, and they were there. They made an extraordinary contribution in actually kind of documenting all of our bugs and moths and things that are around in Sydney.
What about number three?
Number three, Lucy Osborne, trained under Florence Nightingale, nurse overseas.
Yeah, see, there's a name most people will
know. Yes, most people will have heard of Florence Nightingale, very much in the forefront of establishing the whole profession of nursing. So Lucy Osborne actually trained under her, and she became the first lady superintendent of the Sydney Hospital here in Sydney. And she basically, she started there in 1868 and continued working there into the 1890s. And she really began the process of remaking hospital care and professionalising nursing, inspired as well by Florence Nightingale. So she's pretty amazing. Number four. Got to keep track. Maybank Anderson. She's pretty amazing. She was a teacher and a suffrage campaigner and a writer. She was described even at the time. So she was born in 1845, died in 1927. She was described in the early 20th century as one of Australia's noble and notable women.
So, in our equivalent, one of Australia's most influential women.
Yes.
Noble and notable. I like that.
Noble and notable. So, she was actually one of the founders of the Australian women's suffrage movement in the late 19th century. She was also a writer, teacher. She was a lifelong campaigner for women's and children's rights as well. So, she's particularly connected with the whole kindergarten movement, so providing education, free education for young children of working class mm-hmm. mothers. She was also extremely involved in adult education and was involved in training associated with the Workers' Educational Association, the WEA, which still exists today. And she lobbied for things like children's playgrounds around in the inner city. Now, I mean, we have playgrounds everywhere these days, yeah. but in the late 19th century and early 20th century, especially when cars were starting to be introduced into crowded sort of inner city areas, it was realised kids couldn't play on the streets anymore. They had to find somewhere safe for them to play. So she actually lobbied for the establishment of playgrounds, something we all take for granted today. So she's pretty amazing. Now, Edith Walker, number five. She was born into a life of privilege, but she used her money really well. So she inherited heaps of money in 1886 from her father when he died. And she didn't have any children, and she used all her money to become a philanthropist and a patron of the arts. And we all need patrons of the arts to actually support creative endeavour and encourage people to explore their creative practice and things. And so she basically became this amazing arts patron and a philanthropist, supporting things like the Red Cross. During World War One, she had this huge house down at Concord. She actually opened that up, and it became a repatriation and a convalescence hospital for soldiers in World War One. So she kind of really supported a whole lot of adventures, and she's extremely important. You know, posh, yes, but important.
Number six,
Rosette Edmonds. She was actually, I have to admit, she was one I had never heard of when I was delving into the dictionary. But she was one of a number of pioneering architects and town planners around in Sydney. She, I guess, practiced particularly in the first half of the 20th century. She was an early graduate in architecture, and she became a lead designer for Clement Glancy, was involved in design of a lot of Catholic churches and schools around Sydney. And she's interesting as well because she actually wrote and illustrated a history to world architecture before moving into the sort of new field in the early 20th century of town planning. Mm. So she's quite an interesting woman, someone I'd never heard of, Rosette Edmonds.
And number seven?
Number seven, one of my favourites, Marie Biles. She was actually a pioneering women lawyer. She was also a bushwalker and a Buddhist.
Oh.
She was actually Sydney's first woman lawyer, and so she overcame a lot of formal and informal obstacles in order to practice as a solicitor. And I think that's something that I guess a lot of these women would have been faced with, moving into fields where it just wasn't, you know, women just weren't to be found. But she also didn't just become the first. She also used her knowledge and her passion to actually mentor other women in law. And she became an advocate for women's rights in a lot of other fields. And she was also an environmental activist and a writer about Buddhism. So she's a really interesting woman. So she was born in 1900, died in 1979. So, you know, was around for, you know, most of the 20th century. My second favourite,
Number eight
is Violet McKenzie.
What a lovely name.
I know. Isn't it sweet? It just rolls off the tongue. But she was actually a pioneer in Australian radio and electrical engineering. Yeah. So not necessarily behind the mic broadcasting, but actually in the kind of building of radios and the promotion of radios and in the early 20th century. And she founded things like Wireless Weekly, which started out all about, you know, how you build your radio sets and things like that, but then moved into sort of promotion of radio programs and things. So she was a woman in something that was considered to be very much a technical male field, and she was one of the first graduates to learn electrical engineering. She had a lifelong commitment to technical education and training, especially for women. She is particularly standout because she saw the importance of radio, and during World War II, she actually taught thousands of women and soldiers to use radio for signalling. So she transformed how we sort of trained people on the home front, and showed that women were just as capable as men in going into these positions. And ultimately, it led to women moving into the Navy. So it's pretty exciting.
So today's broadcast brought to you by Violet McKenzie.
Yes, very much so.
And last two,
number nine, Louise Lightfoot. Again, a fantastic name. Who was, by Lightfoot, think about it, she was a dancer. And a teacher. And she made a major contribution to two forms of dance, classical ballet and Indian dance. And she founded the first Australian ballet. So she's very interesting. And finally, one other architect, Eva Burick, who was a German-born architect. We're moving now into sort of the mid to late 20th century. She was a champion of modernist design in Sydney, something we kind of think is quite sexy now. But, you know, when it was cutting edge, you know, it was a bit out there for, staid little Sydney. And she arrived in Sydney in 1939, just as the Second World War was breaking out. She worked in architectural design until basically poor pay rates for women architects drove her to writing about architecture instead. She just couldn't make enough money and compete against her male compatriots. So she became a well-known commentator on architecture and design, writing for magazines, industry journals, and the Sydney Morning Herald. So she kind of really changed the way we thought about modernist design in Australia.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Murray.
You're very welcome,
that
Ellen.
That was 10 women in Sydney who have made a difference that you probably haven't heard about.
Yeah, and we'll put up links to all the entries on our blog so you can, like, really explore them and see great photos of them. And
awesome. Yeah. So that's the Dictionary of Sydney blog.
That's the one.
And you can also head to 2ser.com/breakfast to hear this chat all over again.